Before we get started on this road of awesome that is our episode 100 spectacular, I want to make sure I clarify that you are listening to part 2 of episode 100. We had so much content that we needed to break it up. So if you're listening to this and have not listened to part 1, it posted just before this one. Make sure you hear that one first. And now, we join our episode 100 already in progress as we begin with a chat with Marty Connell from Rolling Dice and Taking Names. Alright, Luke, this last one actually got me in trouble.
Uh-oh.
I can't remember what episode it was, but it was a handful ago when I was in, you know, Snowpocalypse 55.
Yeah, I remember snow.
And I remember we do our normal banter where I say, oh my goodness, the weather's awful and I'm barricaded in my house, and you guys say, oh, it's sky is blue and it's in the mid-70s here in California.
I believe we made that a meme, yeah?
Yeah, that's kind of a thing. And I made a comment. I said, I'm used to it from you guys, but when my own coast is telling me that everything is wonderful, and I made the statement. I felt compelled to drive down to where he lives and punch Marty Connell right in the face. Well, apparently, Marty is an avid listener of our show and was really curious as to how I could get him on after I made such a threat.
After you have made such a threat and not followed through with it as well.
I did not follow through with it. I did not drive to his home and punch him in the face. Though I do think it would be interesting to see the reaction of his wife and sons.
I don't know. I think he technically lives in the South, so I'd be careful with that.
Yeah, no, bad things would happen.
Yeah.
But Marty is fun, not only because he was great, he's an amazing interview. He is the co-host of the Rolling Dice and Taking Names podcast. He is just an incredibly fun guy to see. They've had a lot of great growth in, like, their YouTube channels blowing up. And not only that, but he has other kind of, I don't know, how do we say this? Inroads into our show.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Because because his son is actually part of our Pathfinder play-by-post game. So it was really interesting. And guess what, Luke?
What's that?
I might have you know, I always joke that, you know, my favorite character in a role-playing game that I've ever played ever is my dwarf bard, the bard that right. should not be. Marty is apparently getting together with a bunch of other board game media people to do a D&D game.
Oh.
And guess what Marty's playing?
Could that
Marty
be?
Is playing a dwarf bard.
Perhaps he was influenced.
He was. He did say in the interview that he was influenced by his son. He said, man, you gotta play a bard because they're so awesome. And I'm like, yeah, they're pretty cool. And at the time, he didn't realize that I was the one playing the part.
Nice.
But anyway, Marty is always a lot of fun. I'm super glad we got him on the show. And I just got to just... Here is Marty Connell. All right, guys. I have got with me... How shall I say this? A reviewer of games, a half of the amazing duo of the Statler and Waldorf of gaming, and a great purveyor of moon pies. Marty Connell from Rolling Dice and Taking Names. How you doing, Marty?
I actually like that. Purveyor of
moon, pies.
Let me write that down. That's going on the Twitter feed right
you
there.
You can go ahead and use that. That's free.
Yeah, so, thanks for having me on, man.
Oh, no way, man. It's absolutely a blessing to get everybody back, man. It's really been cool to talk to a lot of the people who have come onto the podcast in the past and kind of help make it what it is. So we were super glad to have you back. I mean, we left the last time saying we wanted to have you back on. It's just really cool that we can get you here on episode 100.
Yeah, that's great. However, I must admit, it is kind of an odd way to get me back on where I was listening to one of your episodes and there was something about Marty tweeting a picture from the spring and I want to go down and quote, punch him in the face.
Yeah, that was a quote. That was a thing.
So that is a very odd way to get people back onto the show is by offering force, you know, violence against them.
Look, I knew you'd appreciate it because you know what it's like to be in neck deep in snow when everyone... I hang out with California guys.
Actually, I don't.
Oh, you didn't... Yeah, that's right. You didn't get any. You only had half an apocalypse. If that. Yeah,
if that.
So, Marty, it's been a while since you've been on, and I know for a fact because not only do you listen to us, but I listen to you guys, and you guys have been doing all sorts of crazy things lately. Especially took note of the fact that you hooked up with the Broken Token guys.
Yes. So it's one of those things where you want to hook up your, you know, your trailer to a shining star, and Broken Token, I think, is one of those. So if you haven't heard of them, Broken Token is a company that makes custom inserts for board games, and they do it by out of wood. So they have these laser cutters, and they have these really elaborate designs for replacing inserts for board games. And I've always been into the gaming accessories, dice and organizers and stuff. And so when I saw them, I thought, that's pretty cool. Well, Tony and I got to meet with them last year at BGGCon. And we said, hey, how about this crazy idea where maybe we work together and if you want to sponsor us, and then, you know, we'll put, you know, one ad in our show and we'll talk back and forth. And we kind of done that. But since then, those guys have just taken off. In fact, I just noticed today that the head of the company, Greg Spence, just posted he's bought two more laser cutters. And he says he's up to five or six right now. And at the time of BGGCon, I only think he had like two. So their production is going through the roof. And like I said, if you haven't checked them out, I mean, they make incredible, gorgeous, well-designed organizers for all types of board games.
Oh, I have fallen in love with, they do a box. It's a wooden box specifically. And the insert that comes with that wooden box is specifically for LCGs. I have drooled over the image on my screen and been tempted so many times to click that button because it is just absolutely amazing. As a guy who has collected a fair number of cards, I'd love to actually have like a really solid box to carry them in. And they definitely do good work. They're starting to do like more like laser cutting like designs in them too now, I saw. Mm-hmm. They did a Dominion one. I think they just said they created a new one. There's like a new company that lets them etch their logo into it.
Yeah, it was a Thunderstorm.
Yes. So they definitely make good stuff.
Yeah, are you talking about the hobby box or the box where you could buy from Hobby Lobby and take out the guts?
Yes.
I got one of those. So I got it about a month ago. I said, I got to buy one of these. My wife was at Hobby Lobby, and I told her to look this thing up. She said, it's got one of those 40% off sales. You know how Hobby Lobby does every once in a while. So I picked up the artist box for $17, then bought the insert. It was, you know, $22, $25, something like that. It is gorgeous. It will hold. I can imagine how many cards that thing's going to hold. I highly recommend it if you can get one.
Like I said, I've been tempted on a number of occasions because I've got Netrunner cards by the score, and my Doomtown cards. Budget is the only reason I don't have more Doomtown cards right now, especially because they came out with Faith and something.
Faith.
See, isn't that profound that the two of us are like, it's Faith and something. But the new Pine Box expansion, I want it so bad. But yeah, so Marty, tell me a little bit just about what you've been up to lately. I've seen you've been upping your video game significantly. I love the most recent Shake Test.
It's Faith and Fear.
Faith and Fear.
I had to go look it up. Yep. So we've been delving a little bit more into videos. And the reason why is because for me, that's kind of the artistic side I get to play with. I love doing the podcast and whatnot, but for some reason, and I'm not a videographer by any means, but the idea of making videos and doing these different kinds of cut scenes and doing things for that and the whole lighting and all that, I'm just really into kind of geeking out over that. So that's my outlet for being able to do something like that. And then I thought, well, I need to make these for some sort of reason. And so that's when I came up with this thing called, it's just a stupid name, but anyway, Marty's Musings. Where basically it's just an open-ended thing that I can just use to make and talk about anything I want. And last year I did some reviews of inserts and did this thing where I would do a shake test to music or something like that. And I haven't done one in a while, and I thought I probably should do one again because it was well received. So when I got the Dead of Winter insert from Broken Token, I said, well, this is a good one to do. And number one, they made a great insert. So I did a review of insert, and I said, all right, now I need to do something. And then I started thinking outside the box, hey, why don't I recreate a video? And I had an idea of one video that I eventually do, but Vanessa, my wife, suggested to do one from Footloose, which I thought would actually work pretty well. So I tried to recreate that video that Kevin Bacon did in Footloose for this latest one. And it's got pretty good response. I think when you act foolish like that, that people tend to appreciate that. Self-deprecating humor is always good.
I mean, obviously I was excited about the video. The second you got out of the car, I'm like, oh no, he isn't. And then as the video progressed, I'm like, yeah, he definitely is. But I think the topper was afterwards when you did your face plant onto the mattress and your wife had you do like 14 different versions of ouch.
Yeah.
I can't think I have a favorite because they were all just amazing.
Yes, I had to put the bloopers in there at the end just because that was funny, especially the one. And if people haven't seen it, you can go out to YouTube and look for our channel, Roll Dice Tech Names, and it's out there. There's one where the box popped out of my arms when I landed on the mattress. And it was the funniest. I was not expecting it to happen. So I hit the mattress and the box shoots straight up in the air. And you see that in the video. But what you don't see is how it lands. It actually flips a couple times and lands straight up on its side. And just sits there. And so I'm sitting there staring at it, and that's when I just start dying laughing. My wife starts dying laughing. And then, of course, I kind of start freaking out. Oh, did I just break this insert? And then I actually showed me taking the lid off, and the insert was fine, and everything was still in place. If that box had landed on its corner, it could have been really bad, because it could have shattered the insert on the inside. But it was just so funny. It just landed perfectly on its side like that. So
that gives a whole new dimension to the absolute look of fear when you opened it that time. And because like I thought it had just fallen out of your hand, and that would be crazy enough. But if it's like flipping and spinning, if nothing else, it's giving a good product endorsement right there.
It is. Somebody said, well, the real shake test was surviving that. And I said, actually, it was.
All that video was just an excuse to have the real test.
Exactly.
So you mentioned the fact that your wife is helping you with the video and stuff. It seems like she's been taking more and more as, you know, the con footage you guys did and everything like that. She seems to be more and more into what you guys are doing with Rolling Dice and Taking Names. How'd that get going?
Well, she's always been into gaming, and she has a creative side too. And I've been kind of trying to pull her into it to do more with me. She kind of started a Twitter account, and she's kind of following and talking now. And also, I just think it's really cool to have another woman's voice in the hobby. You know, there's a lot of guys in this hobby. And so having a voice of a woman coming in and kind of give different opinions, I think is really interesting. So I'm actually working with her right now, and she and I are brainstorming on her doing her own video series on our channel. So that's why she's evolved a lot to see, you know, what some ideas or something she might want to do. She's big into going to cons. And so she's going to be going to Gen Con, and she's thinking of things she wants to do there, a certain go out and video some stuff and stuff on her own. So I am trying to bring her more into the fold. Of course, my co-host Tony keeps saying, you know, I'm just waiting for the day when you just hand me a pink slip and say you're gone.
Just doing it with her instead.
Yeah. And I say, no, it's nothing like that. I just think it's another facet. And one of our biggest episodes early on in our show was when we had the wives take over the show. We had my wife and Tony's wife and another friend of ours sit and talk. And that was one of our most downloaded episodes at the time.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
People just wanted to hear that discussion about, okay, all these wives of gamers, what do you think? Well, come to find out, they're actually gamers themselves. And so it kind of spawned from that. I've always wanted to bring her more into that and have more of that female presence. And of course, we can just play off each other really well. And she likes doing the videos too. Rodney Smith from Watch It Played, does his table talk like every other week. And I've gotten Vanessa to do some of those with me, especially whenever Rodney's friend Pep is in the episode. I want to bring in Vanessa on the same episode and kind of mimic or mock copy what they do. And so we got that little thing going.
You get the right camera angle so it looks just like one of Rodney's videos.
Yes, exactly. and say oot a lot.
Well, talking about you guys and teaming up with a bunch of other people in the gaming world, I love the addition that you guys have had recently with the chit chats and the RPG thing that you guys are. I'm excited to see that. Has that come to light yet? Or
it is. So that is okay. So the chit chat is something that we started last year with Suzanne Sheldon, who does the board game app segment on Board Game Breakfast from Dice Tower, and also Rhiannon Ox, who does the Spooning Meeples channel. Plus, they're big on social media, so they're all over the place. And we worked with them on a few things last year, and we said, hey, would you be interested in doing a segment? And the chemistry kind of worked together as far as us working well together. And so we've done that. In fact, I know this episode is going to come out later, but we're getting ready to release the episode with them in it. And it's just a lot of laughs and a lot of good times. So that seemed to go over well. And also, we became friends, several of us, with Lance Meister, who is Undead Viking. And we were talking offline about doing an online RPG. Lance is a big RPG Pathfinder fan. He said, you know what? I'll host it on my channel. We'll give it a name. And the name was like called Boom Quest. And if you go to Undead Vikings channel, you can see we've done 3 episodes so far. So like once a month, we'll get together and do like a 2-hour segment of a scenario. And he's got this whole scenario that we're playing through. And it's 6 or 7 other people that are involved in it, such as Rhiannon and Suzanne and Dan Patrice from Geek All Stars, Anthony Ricano from Cardboard Jungle, Robin Lees from Whose Game Is It Anyway, Keith Collins, who is a big gamer, Major Malfunction, and I'm probably leaving off somebody, but anyway. So we all got this big party that gets online through Google Chat like we're doing right now and play that way. Now, we also use the website, I don't know if you ever used it, Roll20, roll20.net.
For our D&D videos and
exactly, and it works really well, and Lance will bring in a map to show us and whatnot, and it's good for doing the dice rolls so everybody can see that. So as we're doing it, we're live streaming, and then he captures the video and posts it later. So that's been a lot of fun delving into that. I'm very much a casual RPG-er. I want to play more, but it's finding that constant static group to be able to play with. So I thought, hey, this online group might be a good way to do that for me.
So I got to ask, as a guy who hasn't had a chance to see these videos yet, tell me a little bit about your character.
Funny. I wanted to pick something that's totally different than what I am. Well, number one, I decided to do a bard because I never do anything like that. I'm always the rogue, the ranger type person. So I'm going to pick something totally different. And now that I've picked a bard, I realize I don't know what I should be doing. My son is big into Pathfinder and I'm pulling him off to the side. I don't know how to play a bard, dude. What should I do to play a bard? So he's giving me these tips on what.
I hope he didn't, because he's in our Pathfinder game, our online Pathfinder game. I really hope he didn't use my bard as a template, because my guy is not normal.
Well, he must be referring to you, because he was telling me, he said the bard in our group is absolutely phenomenal. He said, Dad, you got to do a bard.
I play the bard in our group.
Perfect. So okay, awesome. So I need to sit down with him and see what y'all are doing in y'all's online game and see how you're playing that.
Normally a bard is very versatile. That's their thing. They can do a little bit of everything. Like even more so than a rogue. They are the most versatile class. And so I wondered, what if I made one a dwarf? Because the joke was, when I opened up a class guide for Pathfinder, they said, like, broke it down by race, which ones are good, which ones aren't, which is not a good combo. And under dwarf, it said, don't ever play a dwarf bard. Don't ever, ever. So I said, I'm going to have to do this now. And so I basically made a barroom brawler who's more about using his axe than his magic. He can also talk his way out of pretty much anything. In fact, I think the last scenario that I really had him shining, he convinced a bunch of soldiers that a barmaid had plague, because he just whipped it up with some makeup and he made her look like he had the plague. And so he pretended to be the doctor and sent them away.
Oh, wow. that's funny. I did a dwarf bard. And yes. Well, the reason why is because Dan Patrice from Geek All Stars, we said, let's do a family thing. So we're half brothers and he wanted to play a dwarf. And Dan is a big into like brew crafting, beer crafting, craft beers and whatnot. And I'm not a big drinker. So we took on alternate roles. So he's the guy who never touches the stuff, very straight, very much a wanting to train to be the best. And I can't remember what he is. He may be a rogue. I can't remember. Anyway, he's some sort of fighter, melee guy. And I said, okay, well, then I'll be the typical dwarf who has to find the tavern and have some ale and parties and gets on stage and sings karaoke and all this stuff. So that's kind of the roles that we've kind of taken on at that time. I need to sit with you offline and ask you, it's like, as I level up, I need to come to you and say, okay, what should I take here?
Yeah. What
exactly. And it was funny because you're right. I remember, when I was rolling the dwarf, I remember there was some race stat that the bard really likes that has a negative start value for the...
Yeah, it has a negative.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm kind of messed up there, but I went with it anyway.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about role-playing games. At the end of the day, you just roll with it and just make it happen. In fact, sometimes that can be the most interesting. Like, I have a thing for rolling dwarves. It's why on BGG, I have two icons. One says Christian, one says I play a dwarf. And I had one where he was a cleric, but he knew nothing of his religion. Because his intellect was, like, negative. And so the whole thing was that he went, I made it his backstory that he was super good at doing the actual practical stuff, at the healings and the prayers and the blessings, but he basically slept and drank his way through class during training. And so basically they sent him out to be an adventurer just because they didn't want to deal with him anymore. But that's this kind of stuff like that. But let's get back to board games. Okay, let's start off with the question I've been dying to ask, because I know you've kind of tackled it in your podcast and on Twitter. Netrunner, Doomtown, Conquest, which one's your favorite?
There'll always be a place in my heart for Netrunner because it's so good. I haven't been playing as much lately because the card pool has gotten so large that I can't keep up with it anymore. It's a lifestyle game. That's a term that I heard somebody use before. Like miniature games and Magic or lifestyle games. You almost have to live it in order to do it. And the card pool just got so massive, I just couldn't keep up. And then what was happening in my local area, the community, Netrunner community, was growing like crazy, but they were hardcore players. So I would go play in these guys and just get totally annihilated. You know, there were people that started their own Netrunner podcast, and that's just all they did. And it's like, for me, who just kind of wanted to play a couple times a month, I was totally left out. So that's about the time that Netrunner and Doomtown came out. And Tony and I first gravitated towards Doomtown, especially Tony, because he loves the Western theme. And so we got a few people to buy it, and it didn't take off here locally at all. At all.
I've been amazed because people seem to have a very love-hate relationship with this. They either absolutely think it's amazing or they can't stand it.
Yeah, and it's weird. We ran, I ran a demo event. We ran a tournament event and like just nobody showed up. I think it's a wonderful game. I just got nobody to play with. So then I just said, well, I guess I'll stop playing. I need to actually sell my, I bought the premium deluxe set thing too. And yeah, sell that. But, and what was funny on one of the tournament nights, we had three people show up. We had two people that came in just to play Warhammer 40K Conquest just for fun. And they attracted like three or four others. And then there were like more people playing an impromptu game of Conquest than there was for the organized event Doomtown tournament. And then the store went, you know, Marty, there's just not enough support for it. But we are going to start running some Conquest events, you know, pointing to the board saying, see, we got some Conquest events going. I said, all right, well, let me try it. And I enjoy Conquest. It's so different than Doomtown and Netrunner. Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it, but I've seen it. I've seen it played before. So I do kind of get a vibe.
I mean, you know, with Doomtown and Netrunner, there's somewhat of a steep learning curve of how the rules work and especially the terminology. Conquest is very straightforward. I can literally teach that game in 5 to 10 minutes and you're up and running. It's a little bit tough with Netrunner and Doomtown. But like all those games, once you get into it, even though the rules are easy for Conquest, the strategy and the tactics are pretty steep and pretty tough to get into or understand. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made while you play. I also just love the universe of it, and the art is really gorgeous. However, and Tony, if he was sitting here with me, he says, you know, in about a year or two, you're going to stop playing this. Well, I may, because once again, the car pool is going to get so large, and I feel like I'm just getting left behind again and can't keep up. And then whatever somebody starts, you know, new again with an LCG, I'll buy it like Game of Thrones this summer. So,
yeah, that's similar to me too. I'm finding that with the LCGs, I have to limit myself to one because there's no way. And even then, I get to a point like with Netrunner, I've got one more that I want to pick up, the last big box one. I want to pick up that one, and then I'm done because at that point, I'll have enough to create like four or five, if not more, solid decks so that if somebody wants to play and if somebody wants to learn, I have something to hand them. So I have that with Netrunner. I don't need any
more. So what is your main stay right now? Is it Doomtown or Doomtown. Do you have a good community there to play with?
I'm building one. That's for pretty much all gaming around here. It more often than not, it comes down to I'm building one. So we'll see how well it takes, but you know, let's see. So, we'll do one more little question, then we'll send you on your way. Right now, there's a lot of great games coming out, and I know you have a thing for Kickstarters.
I don't. I just keep backing stuff. I really don't have a thing for them. It's just shiny and new, and it's by.
They're so pretty. But what is? We'll make this a two-parter to kind of wrap it up. What is the game recently that you've played that has gotten you super excited? And what is one game that you're really looking forward to? Whether it's one of your Kickstarters that you backed or not.
So a game that I've played recently, and I'm trying to think of, I know what it is because it's a game I've been looking forward to I played at BGGCon. That's Royals by designer Peter Halls. The game that was just announced that is the new Dice Tower Essentials game being carried by Arcane Wonders. Tony actually got a copy of that. He had a friend that went to Germany and got a copy and brought it back. And so I got to play again a couple weeks ago. And right now, that is such a fantastic game because it's a light Euro game. It's like an area control game with the mechanics of Ticket to Ride, where you're doing set collection, and to claim an area, you have to turn in a certain number of cards of a certain color. But it's easy to teach. It plays in an hour. I love those types of games that have the Euro feel to it, that there's not going to be a 2 to 3 hour commitment. There's a 5 to 10 minute setup and a 5 to 10 minute rule thing, and then you're off and playing an hour later that you're done. That's what this game is about. I think it's a well-designed game. So recently, that's a game that I've really enjoyed, and keep an eye on it because it's going to be coming out as a Dice Tower Essentials. And then, wait a minute, I guess that's weird. That's actually one of my A's and B's. It's a game I just played, but it's not available yet.
It covers both.
But
So something else that you're looking forward to.
And it's cliche because I know everybody's excited about this, but with me playing Warhammer 40K Conquest, the fact that FFG just announced Forbidden Stars, and the fact that I just played kind of its predecessor StarCraft just a couple weeks ago, which people kind of compared it to when it comes to the order mechanic or the action selection that they have, that's really gotten me jazzed for that game. It's funny, I go through these phases where I've really been in this heavy Euro phase recently and not a lot of thematic games. And now it's like I'm ready to kind of go back to the thematic. And that Forbidden Stars, I think, is going to be that the long thematic game that I'm going to look to get to the table and really enjoy.
It does look pretty. And as you said, you're a fan of the 40K, the 40K universe. And I don't blame you because that universe is cool. I play all sorts of... I haven't gotten into Warhammer mostly because of financial... I don't want to take out a loan to get into Warhammer.
Yeah, and this one of those things here, too. I never played the miniature game because the expense to get into it was just too great. And I'm not crazy with the way Games Workshop runs that game with releasing new codexes every few years, and you got to start over again, which is totally different from Privateer Press, where they just release new models but don't, you know, get rid of old ones. I love their company a whole lot more. But I just like the universe. And so that's why these games are coming out, the board game, card game, and stuff. I at least get to play in the universe without the big expense of the miniatures.
Yeah, that is definitely something that's getting a bunch of hype and could be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to hear about it because it's probably a little long and a little bit on the bigger side for my crew. But I will definitely be looking forward to hearing you guys talk about it because I am excited about it, just the potential
of
it.
Right, yeah. And it's going to satisfy, hopefully, that Eclipse-ish Twilight Imperium. Okay, I don't have a Twilight Imperium itch at all. I've played it once. I never need to play again. But that space, big space battle type thing, I think it'll fill that need for me.
Awesome. Well, Marty, thanks so much for stopping by and talking with us. So I know that a lot of our audience are big fans of you guys and what you're doing. So it was real good to hear
Well,
from
let
you.
Me just take a couple seconds. I'm writing some stuff down because I don't want to forget it. Number one, thank you so much for this RPG session you're running with my son. He has the best time with that. I don't even see him or know when he's doing it. I said, are you still doing that thing? And he went, oh yeah, it's great. They're doing such a great job. So he's really enjoying what you're doing with that. And I really appreciate y'all running that for them. I got to hear you on the Dice Steeple. Congratulations for Grant. That was awesome. I think it's great that En-ROADS is getting some of the much deserved recognition as being a force in the game community. And
I was,
I was super happy because I it was fun because I was talking with Tom and he's like, have we met? I go, yeah, well, we kind of just kind of said hi at Gen Con, but you didn't know who I was and I didn't expect you to. And he goes, well, this year you need to find me this year. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And so that, I think that's really cool. I think that's going to give Inroads a lot of presence. And I just, and so, you know, definitely y'all to see if you could do something for the worship service this year at Gen Con, maybe work with those guys and have a presence there.
Well, we'll see about that. I really love what Derek does with that. And he keeps it real simple and gets guys back out onto the floor because as we want to make sure we honor everyone's time. So I don't think adding another thing onto that will really do that. Quite frankly, I'm super okay with just being a part of that crowd and then going out on the floor. I'm working on my question of the con for this year. Last year, it's what's one thing that you wish that the church knew about gaming. I don't know what this one is yet, though Sam Healy did tweet back at me and give a suggestion, which is, have you showered this morning? And
I saw that.
As much as I appreciate that, I think my response said it all when I said, usually the people that I would want to ask that, I don't need to ask them to know the answer to that question.
Exactly. It's kind of self-evident in itself. Yeah. But anyway, I just love the ministry that you're doing. I think you're doing a fantastic job. I hope it grows. I think you're doing a wonderful service for the community. I think you're doing a great job of bridging the church to the gaming community and vice versa. I think there's education that can be done on both sides. And I think your organization is doing a fantastic job of doing that.
All righty. Thank you so much, Marty. And just real quick, I doubt anybody needs to know this information because they probably already know it. But just in the off chance, how are some ways that people
Well, you can go to our website at RollDiceTakeNames.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at Dice and Names. We're also on iTunes. You can find us there. We have a pretty active guild on the Board Game Geek. You can get to us there. I think that about covers the main things right there.
All righty. Sounds good. All right. Thank you, Marty, again for joining us here on episode 100. And we will
Thank
talk you.
To
you later.
Loved your first 100. Can't wait to hear 100 more.
So I know that it was good to get, like you said, get the band back together. You know, there's lots of folks, all these folks that people have heard from. You know, there were a couple others as well that maybe we just didn't have, weren't able to line up. But
it's basically a matter of time because as it stands, you will probably see this episode in multiple parts because we're not used to the 3-hour format like some other podcasts are.
Yeah.
So to kind of make sure that our audience is okay. We're breaking this one up. This could have been like a 5-hour experience because there are people. I mean, we've had former guest hosts like my buddy Chris North.
Right.
We've had the guy from Dubious Alliance. We've had Barbara Ann Blackburn. There were a bunch of other people we could have gotten on, but man, it comes down to the fact that we could be doing this for days if we had everybody on that contributed to making GSP awesome.
100 is a lot, especially in the world of podcasting. But, you know, you've heard a lot of people on the show, but there are also people who are doing things on the network and on the Inroads site that maybe you haven't heard yet, but you should and you will, and they're awesome. And we have a couple of interviews lined up with them as well. The first is from Peter and Grant. They're the guys who run Saving the Game. That is sort of the role-playing game twin sibling to Game Store Profits. It's also on the Inroads Network, so you can go to InroadsMinistries.com and see every episode there, listen to every episode there. And we had a chance to talk with them about what they're doing, and here it is.
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. So, 100 episodes of Game Store Profits.
Yeah. That's, by the way, this is Peter and Grant from Saving the Game.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, listeners, what's up? So, listen, since Mike made a big deal of not having an outline when he joined us on Saving the Game, we figured we'd do him the favor of not having an outline for when we recorded.
So, we're going to figure out how we're going to... What? Wait. Okay. This is making me trip over my tongue. How are we even going to know what we're going to talk about without an outline?
I don't know.
What is
this
sorcery? What is this madness?
It's nonsense, and I don't know how Mike and Luke do it. And I don't know how they've done it for 100 episodes, but
heck, I'm not sure how I did it with him without an outline for the Darkest Dungeon episode that I recorded with him.
Yeah, it's crazy talk. Madness.
Lifestyles of the podcasting and over-organized? What?
Oh, seriously. Mike and Luke, congratulations.
Yeah, 100 episodes. No, it's going to be like another 2 years before we hit that mark.
And I got to say, everything you guys have put out, a lot of fun. And it's been a real pleasure partnering up with you guys through Inroads Ministries for the past, year and a half?
Something like that. It really has been great. Mike, in particular, I just want to thank you for, being a friend and for doing some audio with us. It's been a lot of fun being associated with you guys and kind of getting plugged into some of the larger geeky faith community stuff through the tavern and through the Inroads website. It's really been a joy being associated with you guys.
Yeah, the community's been awesome. Having some listener overlap is a lot of fun. Having a place where we can just go, hey, here's some cool content that I think you guys will like is just awesome. So here's to another 100 episodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep it up. And if you need anything from us, just
let us know where to find us.
Yep. Take it easy, guys.
I still remember when we got those guys on. It was the funniest thing because we just made contact with them to try and get them on our show. Because we're like, oh, you guys talk about role-playing games. That's so cool. You're talking with, in reference to Bible verses. That's awesome. Why don't you show up on our show? And before you knew it, they were handing us the RSS feed and saying, we want to be on your site. And that partnership has just grown. Grant, on several occasions, will mention the fact that we've got the bare bones of a new podcast that I still have not to put together, mostly because I've been doing this episode. So hopefully, probably by the end of... I'm even going to call it. Grant, you can check me on this. I'm calling it out. I'm putting a date on it, vaguely. By the end of this summer... But I don't do specific dates because that never works. By the end of the summer, we will have a new show, and we're calling it the MacGuffin Factory, where we're going to be creating stuff for role-playing settings. We're going to be creating cool people, places, stuff that will provide seeds that you can build adventures and even build worlds on. So we've already got a bunch of people who have voiced interest in being on that show with Grant and myself. So by the end of the summer, it's going to happen.
Should I go into my lawyer voice now and be like, by the end of summer, Mike actually means the end of a period of increased warmth, notwithstanding any calendar date.
I like it.
So, yeah, well, you guys are definitely going to be hearing more from the new show, but you can also listen to... I mean, think about that, man, right? Game Store Profits, Saving the Game, MacGuffin Factory, Inroads Plays. Like, we could be, like, somebody's entire entertainment meal for the week.
Dude, do not give away my plans for podcast domination.
Domination, I say. Speaking of plans for the podcast domination, the plans would never be able to go forward without these next two guys, along with Mike and I. They make up the board of Inroads Ministries. You know them from Inroads Plays. They are Jeff Romo and Mike Basha, and they are some of our best friends and fellow workers, fellow soldiers for Christ, and this has been an incredible experience over the last, I don't even know how long it's been since we started Inroads, year and a half, and just going forward, I'm thrilled that you guys get to actually hear from them on the show this time. That's great. So here they are. So Mike, it's great that we have had the opportunity, you mostly, but to chat with a lot of our friends who've been with us for the last, 3.5 years, 100 episodes of the show, but we would be remiss to go anywhere without talking to these two guys, really the heart and the soul, or maybe the spleen and the brain of Inroads Ministries. We got our board consisting of...
I call spleen. I call spleen.
Yeah.
Consisting of myself, you, Jeff Romo, and Mike Basha.
Yo.
Mike, Jeff, hello!
Hello.
Hello across the internet.
So, guys, some folks know you because they've watched Inroads Plays, but a lot of folks maybe don't have any idea who you are. We do have a ministry we call Inroads Ministries. It's become a thing this year, which is really cool. And like any good ministry, we have some good godly men who are at the helm of this thing. And so these are our guys. Mike, I've known you for a long time, 17, 20 years. And so tell us a little bit about yourself, why you're part of this thing, and what you're enjoying along the way.
Oh, well, yeah, we have known each other quite a long time, haven't we? Our wives met and...
Essentially our entire adult life.
Yeah, and it's one of those great few relationships where our wives are friends and we also get to be friends. That's been a good thing. So, you know, I've always enjoyed... Well, first off, I've always enjoyed talking to you about all these items. All the gaming and everything, we've just... It seems like every time we talk, we can just pick up right where we left off. And that's what I like about the show, too, is that I think you and Mike have that same kind of feel. And so I just wanted to be a part of that. And whatever skills I have that can throw that way, that's, you know, what I'm trying to do. And I like to stay as background as possible. That's why you don't hear me a whole lot.
That's why he plays a sneaky rogue. I don't
know what you guys are doing. And I like to be that's how my real life is too. I like to play the sneaky rogue.
It's also why if you go to the Meet the Inroads Plays or the Inroads team on our website, Mike Bosch is distinctly not present there, and that was by request.
I did not know that. I think we're going to have to force you to do that too.
Don't worry, guys. I live close to him. I can always sneak a picture in and throw it up on the website. I totally will do that.
Do that. I want to see a Gorilla Basha picture up on our up on our page.
Gorilla Basha.
So that was the voice of our intrepid dungeon master, Jeff Romo. And we announced, Jeff, last episode that you are the new voice of Game Store Profits.
Do I need to, like, do accents or something? I mean, it sounds like it's really special.
We'll be knowing you two, you will.
So let me take a moment here to say how I know Jeff. I mean, as long as Luke and I have known each other, yes. Jeff and I have known each other even a little bit longer than that, as we used to work together way back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I was pleasantly surprised to find out that my dear friend Jeff had become a Christian since I had last known him. And it has been a pleasure getting to know him since that time, since we now live in a new area both together. And so, Jeff, it's kind of been great having you as part of this. And so thanks for coming on.
Hey, you know what? I mean, you are the main reason that I actually joined up because, like he said, I mean, we had been friends many moons ago and just fell out of touch over time, just as time and distance will do. But I found out later that he had invaded my church. You know, I became a Christian and I started going to a church here in Southern California, and out of the how many hundreds of square miles there are in this city, he had to pick my church to join up at. So that was a little frustrating. I mean, awesome. But no, Basha knew me before I became a Christian, and before I, you know, was like this, I was a lot worse. So it's an awesome story, and it was great to hear. There was one night when I actually remember this very vividly. We were out front of his house, and we were chatting. He's like, "You know what, Jeff? All these years, I've been praying for you. I've been praying that you would become a Christian." And it was just like, man, it just hit me. I was just like, that is so awesome. And yeah, I mean, from there on, I mean, we've been talking more and more, and then he told me about his buddy Luke, because he found out that I was a total geek and into gaming and stuff, and he's like, oh, these guys have this show called Game Store Profits, and this was back when, Luke, when you had your book review
podcast as well. I mean, I had a lot to listen to. I had a lot to catch up on.
Awesome. Well,
that is a lot of content. You're away.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. I think I might start twitching or something when I'm not on the air anymore. I don't know what to do about that, but
I think I'm gonna twitch because you're not on the air.
So you guys are you're in the secret circle. You're privy to the cool things that are happening here at Inroads Ministries. And now I know we can't say everything, but you guys have a good idea of where this ministry is going. What's exciting about this ministry? What kind of turns you on? What do you kind of look forward to and dream about and think, wow, this could really happen?
Wow. Basha, you want to go first?
Well, you know, I didn't play these games growing up, but I definitely see the social aspects of this, of all the D&D and all this stuff. And I played a few things. But what I really see is, you know, there's an untapped market here, I think. You know, Perna's got a real big heart for the people that play these games and then want to reach out to their friends, and I think that's just an excellent opportunity by itself.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I can agree. I totally back that up too. It's just over the past how many months we've been doing this, it's been great to learn more about you guys and to realize that, you know what, all those years that I've been playing games and I stepped away from it when I became a Christian, and this is obviously a familiar story to everybody, but you know, you step away from it because you're thinking, I can't mix faith and these games. I mean, these games are what leads me into trouble. And it's like, no, not at all. I mean, that's what was so special about hearing your guys' show in the first place, was to think, man, I can do this. I can have my cake and eat it too, and I can be responsible with it, and I can reconnect on a new level with old friends. During our first broadcast with En-ROADS Plays, I was mentioning that I've been gaming off and on for about 25 years, and the first gaming group that I gamed with, I just now sat down and started playing the same game that we first started with, which was Shadowrun First Edition. And so it's just come full circle. It's great.
Well, that's
you know,
really
what
awesome.
I'm excited about from a, just a Christian's perspective, is that I grew up in a house where, you know, I grew up in a third generation Baptist house, right? Maybe even more generations than that. And it was not only not cool to play in my house growing up, but it was just not allowed. And I think the difference here is that, you know, we're seeing that they don't conflict each other. Christianity and role playing, especially fantasy role playing in this context, they don't they contrast each other nicely, but it's not antagonistic for each other. You know,
there you go.
I tell my parents, you know, this is something that I'm doing with you guys. And at first they go, well, why that? And, you know, I remind them that, you know, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, they're fantasy writers. And there's a lot of creativity that goes on in the game, but there's a lot of social interaction and there's a lot of friendship building and teamwork and all this stuff that happens. It's not just about magic missiles and fireballs. You know, there's growth here. And I think those of you that have been playing for a long time could definitely say that there is absolutely growth between friends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've
absolutely.
Had,
those are the friends that I've stuck around with.
Well, and it's been a really amazing experience to be putting together a ministry. I've put together a number of ministries in the past, but to do one where we play games together, it's been a pretty cool experience getting to know each other even better. And folks, I know, I'm sure Perna feels the same way, man. We are so thankful for these two guys, and not only for the work that they do, but for the spirit that they bring to this ministry. And, you know, I often wonder what people who are listening to the show think is happening in the background. And sometimes I can understand how somebody who's listening, it might be hard to know, well, what are these guys doing? What's this ministry all about? How does this stuff work? And we know that, especially during the startup phase, it's a little bit obscure, but we wanted you guys to know the people behind this ministry. The people, when you think, man, I hope En-ROADS really grows, when you pray for this ministry, these are the guys you're praying for. And we're just so thankful for them. We're thankful that you guys have gotten the opportunity now to get to know them. And if you want to know them better, go check out En-ROADS Plays And you can see them being an awesome DM and a stabby, stabby rogue. So, guys, thank you so much for being on episode 100.
Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And
I'll try and do my best to fill those shoes of yours, Luke.
I don't think there's going to be a problem. And those of you who love role playing games, you're going to get so much more information. So, Mike, I have a question for you.
What is that question?
Are you going to let Jeff say it at the end of the show? Or are you going to take it on?
I don't know, man. I don't know. That's a big responsibility.
I know. It's like, I could just record it for you.
Well, no. Come
on. So
it's not that big a responsibility.
So, as we mentioned, you know, Jeff is taking my spot as the regular host of Game Store Profits, and I'm super thrilled that he is doing that. And I know you guys are going to have a whole lot of fun. But it is
fun, too, because Jeff recently said, especially because he's taking on more of the role with Game Store Profits, he decided that he has kind of forsaken his long-standing ban on social media. And he is now on Facebook. He is in the tavern. And he is actively participating. It's like the dam broke. And all just the floodwaters of posts from Jeff have just taken over the tavern.
Conversely, I've crawled into my lovely Luddite cage.
Yeah.
Set up a nice
Always
home.
Remember, email for Luke. Email for Luke.
Yeah, email, smoke signals, whatever. Yeah. They all work. The hosts are great. Guests are great. The board, the people who are... running this thing are great, but you know who's even better than that? The listeners. The folks that Absolutely. Are actually taking the time out of their day to listen to these shows, and we just had the opportunity at the last board meeting to sit back and look at the numbers and realize that in the last month or so, this ministry has basically doubled in reach, and that is mind-blowing.
Luke threw the numbers out, and all of us just kind of sat there silently until we just kind of bust out with just, whoa.
I mean, it like, only God could do that. You know? Mm. And a couple of you guys were really awesome and wrote in and left comments for us. And so, Mike, are you going to do the voiceover action for us?
I'm just going to do a couple of these. A lot of folks have voiced, you know, just appreciation for what we do on the podcast. There, I can't go into each and every little individual comment because there have been a bunch of them. And feel free, if you're listening to this right now, whether you're on iTunes or you're just commenting when I post this in the tavern or whatever, feel free to just throw comments at this because we do really love hearing from you guys. Two people, however, specifically wanted to email us and put together some thoughts for the episode. And I wanted to make sure that I read those. The first one was a guy, oddly enough, another California gentleman. I can't win on the East Coast, apparently. His name is Matt, and Matt says, "Hey guys, this podcast has been an immense blessing to me. I've been listening for about 6 months or so, but have been a gamer all of my life. It has only been recently I have realized that the Lord has given me a ministry through gaming. GSP has been a tool God has used to accomplish this. I view my game nights as a time to recharge and have fun, but also as a ministry of reconciliation, of hope, and a time to share life together unto the glory of God." Wow. We've had a couple people who have told us that they really think that gaming is going to become more a part of their ministry because they've listened to us. And Matt's just the one who put it into words here.
I can't tell you how often we hear that story. I've been a gamer all my life, but now I'm putting it all together. And we, that for us, that is our highest goal, right? That is like, you know, I mean, we've had people who have gotten into gaming and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know, there's something special about that to me because it echoes my own journey. And I'm just so thrilled that we were right. We had no idea, but, you know, we were like, I think there are more people like us who want to hear these things, and there are, and that's amazing.
Yeah. All right, the next one blew my mind. I still, to this moment, think this is awesome. Not only because of who wrote this, but what he wrote. Because this is literally the embodiment of why we do this podcast and why we do the ministry. And we hope to just see more and more of this email. That's how awesome this one is. I'm going to tell you that this is from a man named, and I'm really sorry if I mispronounce this. It's been a long time since I took German, and this is a gentleman who, at this point, if he's listening right now, he'll be driving to work, apparently, according to this email. Andreas Steiger, or Andy Steiger, as his name showed up in my list. I saw the name, and I go, I know I've heard that name before. Now, obviously, when people email me having heard this, there's a lot of people I've never met a day in my life. But when I saw Andy Steiger on the list of messages that I was receiving, I go, I know this name. What is it? So I opened it. And first words out of it are, My name is Andreas Steiger. I'm a board game designer from Germany. And in parentheses, he says, I created a two-player game called Targi. Now, Targi is, I don't know if I'd consider it a super popular game here in the States. However, if you go to a bunch of people's lists of like the most amazing two-player game you'll ever play, Targi's on a whole lot of those. Most notably, it shows up on a couple different, you know, top 100 lists, fairly high up there over at the Dice Tower. So the fact that the designer of this critically acclaimed, widely just championed as a really solid two-player game, like a defining two-player game experience, is writing us, still boggles my mind. And then he keeps going. I recently found your great podcast, and I'm very impressed by it. Having been very interested as a young man in church for about 10 years, I lost, in recent years, a little of the grip and the connection. Going to church services nowadays on a very loose basis. So I'm very happy that I found this podcast that somehow turns my focus back to some important things in life, mainly using parallels of my great passion, board games, to show me lessons in the faith. That, I'm not even kidding. I just read that. I've read this like a dozen different times. And I just got chills reading this because this is literally why we do this. This is awesome. Andy, thank you so much for writing this in. This is literally what we hope to do and what we hope to train churches to do. So in this one email, I asked him immediately. I said, please, please, please let me read this on episode 100. This is awesome. And I'm just going to stop because I'm just going to keep repeating myself saying this is awesome. And I don't want to edit that out.
Well, you know, those two emails really encapsulate it, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, there's just nothing else to say about the 100 episodes that we have done. And, you know, we have jokingly said, I don't know how many times, but we just got together and started doing this and God's, you know, took it way beyond wherever we thought. I mean, we have had no plans, no structure, no clue, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And God did some things here and is doing things and it will continue to do things, I am absolutely sure. Now, and I'll tell you what, you know, getting ready for this show, I have just kind of been looking back, just sort of randomly clicking around and looking at old episodes.
Like you do. I did that myself.
Yeah, and at some of the things that we have done, I think about all the events that have happened that you've done, whether they're Tabletop Day or...
Extra Life or...
Extra Life, thank you. And, you know, I think about all the money that has been raised. I think about, you know, we've talked about some deep things in the world of geekdom. You know, and yeah, we now really do focus on board games. But as I look through the episodes, you know, pretty regularly we also have episodes that touch, or maybe the board game episodes, they click into something that spreads out to the larger geek culture as well. And really, I feel like we've had such a great time just being able to explore this thing that we love. And I've got to tell you, man, when we did episode one, I was like, what in the world is there going to be left to talk about in episode two? You know, I was like, we are completely out of content. We're doomed. And somehow, the more we dig, the more we realize that, you know, it's like a never-ending supply. Because it's life.
Mm-hmm.
And life is a never-ending supply of content. And speaking of life, do you realize that we were doing this show for like a year while you were a single gentleman?
I know, right?
I was two houses ago when we first started recording this show. You know, it's... I cannot believe... I'm looking at the list right now. Episode 1, still, I think, the best name episode ever of Inroads.
Yeah.
The Olyphant in the Room, July
22,
2011. Yep. 2011. Dude, we're coming up on 4 years. And you know, like... Yeah, we're making a big deal. Episode 100, 4 years. Well, here's the thing, man. Like, podcasts, they don't do that. Right? There are very few podcasts that can say they were going for 4 years. And I think the only reason this one is because God's behind it.
Yep. Yeah. And
so, man, as you look back, what are some of the things that stand out to you?
You know, it's hard to encapsulate. I mean, I'm sure you figured this out, too. It is hard to look back on 4 years of doing this where so much has happened and kind of reflect on that. The whole thing just seems very surreal to me. And every time something will happen and I find myself just, I can't believe we're here. I can't believe we've done this, because I'll talk to other podcasters and they're like, how long have you been doing this? And I go, oh, we're doing it for about 4 years. We're about to hit episode 100. And just the shock that I get back in response to that, or the fact that I remember I used to have just an absolute hatred for all things Twitter. I'd never go on it. Now it's like part of my being, and I've made so many connections and so many friends on this, and I can't wait to the next time I go to a big convention where some of these people are and I get to meet them. I think it's crazy that Derek told me that there are people who will come up to him at like conventions or even just in his day-to-day life and say, hey, do you know about these Inroads guys? They're doing some pretty awesome stuff, not realizing that Derek is a friend of ours and has been on the show before. I'm continually blown away by this. I'm amazed at the gaming community. And when we started this, I considered myself a part of the gaming community, obviously. I've been gaming since well before we did this podcast, so I always felt I was a part of it. But the love that I have for this community has just skyrocketed. It's the reason that I've had such the push to make this ministry something awesome, because I love this community. I love gamers, and that has only grown from having done this. So yeah, I think that yeah, I can't cite any kind of greatest hits or anything like that, but that's just the way
it is. Yeah, you know, I do kind of feel you with that, and I wish that I could. I wish that I could put my finger on the moment, but there was no moment.
Right.
But somehow, somewhere along the way, don't know where, don't know how, don't know why, but this show became a thing. It took on its own life. And, you know, I guess I kind of say I don't know how, but I do know how. God did that. But you just take a step back and look, and you look at the tavern, or you look at the Inroads page, and you realize, like, there's a lot of people here doing stuff. You know, like, the majority of the posts on the tavern aren't us.
Yeah,
it's other people.
When we first started doing the tavern, it was mostly me finding cool stuff. And don't get me wrong, I still find cool stuff and I put it on the tavern. But there's a bunch of other people saying hi and checking in and stuff like that. And that community is growing steadily. And I'm happy about that.
I know we say it every week, but I really want to encourage you. You're listening to episode 100. Like, if all you have done is just in your car listen to these two voices for an hour every 2 weeks, we're thrilled. We'd love you for listening. But man, take some time to go have a look. Go have a look at Inroads, inroadsministries.com. Go have a look at the tavern on Facebook if that's your thing. Check us out on Twitter if that's your thing. And you're going to see that there's a community here. There's a life here. There's a thing that's happening. And it's beyond the two of us. Way, way beyond the two of us. And that is super exciting to me. It's like, you know, I have kids, and it's kind of like a kid, you know, where it's like, there's this moment, you're like, oh, you're not just this helpless little infant baby anymore. You're your own little person.
And I will say...
this ministry has become its own thing.
I will say that probably the embodiment of it, and I'm so upset that we couldn't get her on, but to not go into all her stuff that she's been messaging me back and forth with, because there's outside family stuff that she's dealing with, and it kind of knocked her off kind of her schedule. She recently wrote an article for Inroads. Heather Johnson is kind of my prototypical, you know, person I point to say this is what we love seeing, because Heather was...
She's fan number one.
She is fan number one. I say that she's our number one fan, not only because she does stuff for the site, but also because she was pretty much one of our first fans. And the fact that she's gone from, I don't really play games, and I'm not really sure what this is about, but I've got a young kid, and he wants to play games, so I want to play with him. So she starts going to a store, and they start playing. And then all of a sudden, she starts running games. And then she moves from running games to, you know, doing all sorts of stuff on the internet and running games for strangers. And she has this amazing connection with her kid playing and running games for her son and his friends. And that just reminded me of back in the day when I was a little kid playing HeroQuest and my dad was running the game. And she, I mean, I wish we could have had her on, but she will cite the whole way that listening to us has helped her do that. And it's so cool that gets to be a thing that we say that we've been a part of. Again, I won't say we did it, because we're just two idiots talking on the internet.
Literally
two idiots talking on the internet.
Please do not think we are anything more than that.
Yeah, the fact that we've been a part of that, to be a participant in what God's doing in the lives of people, building relationships, and drawing people back into the faith that had thought that they'd have to leave that behind, or felt like they were ostracized and not valued in the greater body of the church. The fact that they're coming back and they're citing the fact that they were happy to see us is a true blessing to its core.
And I've been thrilled to sit down with you 100 times and record this show. And I really do hope that when 200 rolls around, you can have me on. I can be one of those guest voices.
Oh, dude, you're going to be on again long before 200.
Oh, I probably will. Yeah. I don't think I'll stop playing games.
Yeah.
But more so, you know what, man? I just, sitting here thinking and reflecting, I do know when it happened. I know exactly when it happened.
Okay.
We were recording this show. And I pulled out my phone one morning, and I texted you, and I said, you know, I think that maybe God's asking us to do something more with this. And you texted me back and said, last night my wife and I were praying about just that thing.
Yep.
You know, like literally on the same night, God put it into both of our hearts that Game Store Profits was going to become Inroads Ministries. Now, we didn't know the names, of course, but
well,
it was the same night and, that happened.
And we didn't even know the direction of it back then.
No, we just knew that God was saying more. You know,
yeah.
There's going to be something more. And, you know, for all of the awesome people that are part of this, we really believe that this is a God thing. And we are so thrilled and so excited just to be able to go along for the ride. And I have no idea. I mean, I guess I have some guesses and some hopes and some dreams about where Inroads is going, but I'm humble enough to realize that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that God's doing something. And man, it's good that God is the game master. You know?
Absolutely.
And this has been a great game. And, you know, the show gets to level up and get a new hero. But I'll still be on around for Inroads. And just thank you guys for listening for 100, and I hope you're back for 101.
Yeah, thank you so much for being a part of this and for letting us do this. Because if people weren't participating in this, we probably would have died out a long time ago. Probably we wouldn't have even gotten to a point where we thought about Inroads, wouldn't have gotten to a point where we're doing, you know, government paperwork and making, you know, strategic plans for the next one, 5, and 10 years.
Board meetings. I'll tell you what, folks, we do not Robert's Rule of Orders and the Inroad Board's meetings.
Well, I will also tell you that another sign that this has been a God thing the whole way through is because as the first handful of episodes and even this one now will tell you, we're not much for planning. And we're not.
No, that would completely ruin our vibe.
To bring in more Christianese than we're used to, that is not my spiritual gifting. And the fact that I spend a lot of time right now, as Luke will tell you, much to his annoyance, I'm a big idea guy. I say, let's do this awesome thing. And then Luke's left to say, all right, how are we going to do this awesome thing? And can we even do that? So the fact that I'm finding myself these days putting pen to paper to be like, all right, these are things we need to do. This is the kind of event we need to have. This is the kind of stuff I want to see 1 year, 5 years, 10 years from now. The fact that that's even in my being right now is because God's doing something to this. And if there's one thing that we kind of wrap this episode up with is that we are just participants in what God's doing. That first episode when we had no idea how we would wrap, we had no idea how we would end it, and we just came up with that tagline that we have literally said 100 times. It's God. We are participating in the game that God is letting us play. And as long as he lets us, we're going to keep playing it.
So, folks, we leave you the same way we do every time.
Wait. This is the last time you're going to say this.
Yeah, it is.
I just want to just have that moment. This is the last time that Luke Navarro is going to say our catchphrase, at least on the podcast.
Yeah, I do. I just I randomly greet people that way.
By the way, you should know this. But I just wanted to make that declaration. I don't want to belabor the point. I just wanted to make, this is the last time you're going to do this. This is awesome. And I want to just thank you for all the times you've said it in the past, because you've done it 9.9 times out of 10. So, yeah.
Well, this time, at least with Game Store Profits, I'm pretty sure we roll the crit on this one.
Oh, yeah.
But God is the game master, and no matter how the dice fall, the game plays on.